This morning, I'd like us to turn in your Bibles. It will be on the overhead to Genesis chapter 28, beginning with verse 10. Here we find Jacob, who's essentially running away. He's running from his brother who wants to kill him. And he's running from his own intrigue because he stepped in where he shouldn't and took the brother's blessing. And he's going to a place that he's not been before. Father sent him to search for a wife. So let us look at verse 10. Now Jacob went down out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. He took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east and to the north and the south, and in you and all your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you whenever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously. On the overhead, you'll see a prayer. I'd ask you to read it with me. Ah, God, I would thank you for your constant comings. Sometimes when I pray for the coming, sometimes when I least expect it. Keep coming, Lord, for I often get too busy, too harried, too preoccupied with the details of every living to feel the wind of the Spirit. So keep coming. I desperately need you. And let us continue to pray. Father, we look to you this morning and pray that you will help us as we look into your word. We pray, Lord, that you will cause our hearts to be softened before you, and that we will learn to recognize that you are always with us, that you always love us, and that you're always present. Help us to learn of you. You would learn of us. We often wish we knew more about our husbands or our wives or our children or our grandchildren. Help us to communicate to you, O Lord, as we would wish they would communicate to us. For we know you long to have fellowship with us. So take us out of our self-indulgence and turn our eyes toward you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to share with you this morning from this passage four key words. The first key word is sovereignty. Expectancy, sensitivity, responsiveness. God is sovereign, as we read in verses 12 to 15. Jacob was a liar. That was his name. He was a deceiver. And yet God, in his sovereignty, reached out to Jacob.
That's right.
We need to remember that God is sovereign.
That's right.
Jesus came as a man to know and feel our sorrows and heartaches, but he's also God.
Amen.
And we constantly have to hold that intention. Jesus the man, Jesus who is God, and he is sovereign.
Yes, yes.
And he will do what he will do.
Amen.
Other examples of God appearing in special ways. You see Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 5. Remember, the bush that burned. And then there's Joshua in Joshua 5:15, approached by the captain of the Lord's host.
Yes, indeed.
Balaam, of all people, in Numbers 22 to 35, and you have the talking donkey.
Right.
And the appearance of the angel of the Lord. And finally, Balaam's eyes are opened. And in Isaiah 6, you have the vision of the Lord on his throne,
yeah,
high and lifted up. God is sovereign. Next thing we see in this chapter is that there is a need for expectancy. Now, there was no expectancy in verse 16, was there? Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." He didn't expect to meet the Lord there.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But we need to learn to have a spirit of expectancy. One of the things I love about this church is that we come and we worship him, and then there is an expectancy that God will speak to us.
Amen. Yeah,
God will minister. We expect to meet him here. And we need to cause that expectancy to grow in our lives.
Amen. Good.
So Jacob didn't have an expectancy, but if you read from Psalm 139, I think that's also on the overhead. "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. How precious also are your thoughts to me, God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be no more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you."
Amen.
We need to foster an expectancy.
Good.
Third word is sensitivity. An openness. And that Jacob became. When he woke up, he didn't say, "Oh, that was quite a dream,"
yeah,
and pass it off.
Right on. Very good.
He was sensitive to the fact that God was speaking to him.
Excellent.
And we need to foster a sense of sensitivity.
That's right.
Amen. How many times have we missed something that God would have for us? Because we weren't sensitive to the moving of the Spirit of God. On a hill called 805, I stood one early morning. The enemy had hit us every night for 4 or 5 nights. Flare ships had come overhead to light the sky so we could see them coming. And as I stood there looking over the position our platoon had held, I could hear the medevacs coming to take away the wounded and the bodies. And then the helicopters would come to bring replacements and new more ammunition to replace what had been expended that night. And the hill was chaotic. Boxes had been opened and cardboard spread all over as we grabbed for ammunition and grenades and whatever. And as the sun was coming up, the Lord reminded me of a verse I did not even realize I knew. 2 Peter 1:19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. It was a dark place. Another translation says squalid. It was a squalid place. But God was there.
Amen.
Some 10 or 12 years later, I had now joined the chaplaincy and was stationed with the 82nd Airborne. And as I often tried to do, because it meant a great deal to the troops, and besides, I enjoyed doing it, although many of them were not so and happy about it. I remember walking up the stairs one time for practice, and this young man came behind me and was great on the floor. And he would come and he would hold close to the wall. And I'm thinking, this guy's that afraid of heights and he's going to jump? So I was sitting in this plane, probably a C-130, with my assistant. And not only was it a practice jump for us, but it was a practice for the Air Force. And so for 45 minutes or an hour, they were flying nap of the earth, which meant the plane was going like this and like this. And my assistant, as always on these jumps, had to use the little bags we were provided with. And then I had to give him my bag. And he wasn't the only one. And when the time rang out for us to stand up, all those bags dropped to the ground. And the stench as we hooked up to the wire there. And you know what happened to me in that place? Suddenly in my mind, I could hear the words of the chorus. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And I'm thinking, now Lord, really? Really? This doesn't make sense, but yes, I guess you are. You are here. You are present in this place. And my spirit was so lifted that when I jumped from the aircraft, if I had gone up instead of down, I would not have been surprised. Sensitivity. For God would speak to us in the most unlikely places.
Yes, amen.
if we'll but let him. If we'll open our eyes. The next word is responsiveness. Jacob didn't just pass things off lightly. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. So he responded to the moving of God. Hal Lehman, who's now with the Lord, was a missionary in Ghana, West Africa, for many years. And he told the story of how in his early days, when he was still learning the language, he was in a village and the men had gone out to go hunting. Then the women had left to go gather and pick and whatever. And all that was left in the village was him who was trying to practice his language and an elderly lady working on a pot, molding and shaping it. So he went over and began to speak to her. And finally, when he had used up all of the possible vocabulary that he could think of, and she answering and talking with him patiently, she excused herself and went off to find firewood, things to burn in the fire in order to fire the pot that she was molding. And on an impulse, he leaned over and in a instance of both sensitivity and responsiveness, he looked inside, and as he looked inside this pot, he saw the imprint of the potter's hands.
Wow.
And he began to cry, God, let your imprint be printed in my heart and in my life. God would touch us. He would mold us. He would shape us. Is the imprint of Him, His touch in your life such that others see Jesus? Do they see in your lives the imprint, the touch of God? God is sovereign. We need to be expectant. We need to be sensitive. We need to be more responsive. I told the pastor as a chaplain, they didn't very often speak very long because you might gather a few troops for 5 minutes and that's all you had. He said, well, stretch the best you can. So I have here, if time permits, and it does permit, the story told of a young girl in a boarding school. She was so withdrawn, so unattractive, that it was disturbing to the other children. And the headmaster was really looking for ways, some excuse that he could send her away. And one day he thought the opportunity had come, for into his office came one of their classmates. I saw her. She wrote a note. And she went outside the city wall and she pinned it on a tree. So the headmaster followed to this spot where the note had been pinned to the tree. And the note read, to whoever finds this. I love you. Another person wrote a note and put it on a tree outside a city wall.
That's right.
To say to the world and to us, I love you.
Amen.
When I was a child, often we would play the game, how much do I love you? I love you this much or this much. Or I love you this much. Jesus hung as a note of God's love on that tree with his arms stretched to say, I love you. He loves us. Do we remember it sometimes? In our most awful moments, in our ugliest situations, he's there. And he loves us. In Hosea chapter 6, I was going to read Isaiah 53, which says, he has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and we did not esteem him like that little girl. But despite all of that, he loves us. In Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, in the Good News Bible, says, I want your constant love. Not your animal sacrifices. I would rather have my people know me than have them burn offerings to me. And the Living Bible puts it more bluntly. I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your burnt offerings. I want you to know me. And so, in summary, what have we talked about today? We said we need to recognize God's sovereignty. We need to become expectant of his presence. In the least and most improbable places, we need to be more sensitive to his voice, to the wind of the Spirit as he would move upon our lives and touch us. And we need to be more responsive, not let those moments go by, but respond to him. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that you love us so much more than we can imagine. And we pray that somehow you would give us a picture of the celestial canopy, of the world beyond this to which we're going. For we are pilgrims, strangers in this place. Help us to know that there are battles going on in other realms that we should and could be participating in prayer as soldiers of yours. So open our eyes. Open our senses. Open our ears. That we might touch you and receive from you each and every day and every moment all that you would have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Joseph. What a beautiful message. Touches the depths of our hearts. So simple. Sovereignty, expectancy, sensitivity, and responsiveness. So I wrote the letters S-E-S-R. And as I looked at them, to me it says, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We want to respond positively to this message. He wants our constant love. Constant love. And he wants us to know him. And even more, he wants to know us. He does care. He is sensitive to us. Therefore, why should we not be responsive to him and expectant of him and wanting to listen to him? We need to be responsive. I just love that. I'd never seen it quite in that way before, Joseph. He took the stone that was at the for his head. He took that, and he didn't just leave it there. He stood it up as a pillar in responsiveness to the Lord. How do you think that made God feel? Yes. Was he delighted? Was he delighted? Even so today, how delighted God is when you and I respond to him. We see something that he's done, or we hear him say something to us. Instead of just passing it by and going on to the next thing, we set up a pillar, whether in our mind or actual setting up, taking a stone or something and setting it as a remembrance that God met us there. Let's be responsive to him. Again, Joseph, thank you. It was a beautiful message.
Musicians, will you tell the stones that